I want to invite your attention as we are embarking on this first installment of our new series as it relates to relationships, our church family, our biological family and friends, how God wants to use us to go deeper and further in glorifying Him and how we make connections with one another. Our first message for in this series is coming from the second chapter of Genesis. Second chapter of Genesis, where our message for the morning is coming from. And particularly, I'll be reciting to you the 18th verse of the second chapter of Genesis. It's an appropriate place to start our journey because we understand Genesis as being the book of beginning. That's a hint for those of us who are not as familiar with this book called the Bible. It's right there in the beginning, the book of Genesis. And I trust by now you've made your way there to the second chapter. And there you'll find in the midst of the creation account, first chapter speaks of God creating heaven and earth. And the second chapter zooms in on God's creation of humanity. And right there in the 18th verse, it comes after God creates man and he places him, the text says in the 15th verse, in the garden to work it and to keep it. The God had planted a garden, grew a garden, created a garden, and he placed man, the man named is Adam, in the center of the garden to work and to keep it. Then in verse 18, Dr. Hank, the text says, then God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. In our morning message, we want to zoom in the truth of God's diagnosis of mankind, where he says, it is not good for man to be alone. With a thought in our mind, what God expects and plans to do through the family of God. Pray with me, Father, how we thank you so much for the blessed privilege that is ours to be in your presence on your day. And we ask now that you'd allow your word to be deposited deep within our hearts, that it might take root and produce fruit for your glory, that we might have our connections ever so strong with you and with each other, and that you be glorified in the process is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We indeed are the family of God. I say we, those of us who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we are the family of God. And God wants his children who make up his family not just to survive, not just to experience day-to-day activities or circumstances. God's desire for us as a body of Christ is that we thrive. Nudge your neighbor, says he, tell him he wants you to thrive. I didn't hear you. Tell your neighbor he wants you to thrive. God wants you to thrive. God wants us to be all that he has intended for us to be in this life as we give our lives for his glory. That's his intention. That's his desire for those who are in his family. His family is created of humanity. In the second chapter, when God creates Adam, God looks at Adam, as we just read, and he sees Adam in the garden that God had created, Ken, in the garden where God had provided for all of his needs, all the trees that was needed in the garden for his nourishment were there. God was there, and God looks at Adam with God being there and Adam being there in the garden, and God makes the diagnosis. It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good, not suitable, not profitable, not purposeful that we are alone, that we are to live lives in isolation or loneliness. God does not desire for us to live and experience loneliness as a state of our condition. Rather, his desire is to connect us. Because I want you to realize from God's word, we were never made to be alone. When God created us, when God created you, when God created me, he created us to connect with each other. Go ahead and preach for me for a little while. Just tell your neighbor, you weren't meant to be alone. That's it. God created us to connect with one another. In fact, let me ask our musicians to help me out here. I asked them to stay up just to help me out here. David, our drummer, give some for the drummer. Give some for the drummer for me. Go and give some for the drummer. David, our drummer. David, why don't you go ahead and play like you do so well. Go ahead and play for us. Yeah. You always got to give the drummer some. You always got to give the drummer some. That was good, and that was a funky beat, and it felt real good for those of us who like percussion, but it just didn't seem to be enough. You know, by itself, there is value, but it can never be what it's meant to be by itself. I mean, maybe that's the wrong instrument. Maybe I need to check. Garo, go and give me that bass line. Garo, why don't you give us a bass line for that? Tell me how to roll. That is. It reminded me of my old school Buick I had back in the day. That was all right, God. I appreciate that, but I appreciate it. And it's beautiful and as deep and resounding as that sound is alone, it's not the best it can be. Not by itself. But you know what? No, Vic, you got it, right? Vic, our lead guitarist. I know you. Oh, hold on. Let me check for me. How many guitar fans we have in the house? How many guitar fans? Let me see. How many guitarists? Oh, yeah, I see. Go ahead, Vic. When I grow up, I'm going to do it just like that. All of these instruments sound good individually, but alone, they would never be able to fulfill the melody they could like when we brought them all together. Is that right, fellas? Let's go ahead and see what it sounds like when we bring everything together. Oh, hey, there that is. That's it. You gonna sing it for me? You know that song, don't you? Right? I am. I'm a friend of God, yeah. That's it. I am a friend of God, he calls me. Thank you, fellas. Give it up for him, Father, give it up for him. Thank y'all for that help. I see you, because the truth is that it was never meant, God never intended for us to live life alone. Because the sweetest melody is connected. The sweetest melody comes when we realize that God intends for us to exist in community. Why don't you help me thank God for our musicians one more time. Help me thank God for our musicians. Thank you, fellas, for that help. Get to recognize not only that God never intended for us to be alone, and he sees Adam in the garden with him, and God makes the diagnosis. Though God is there and Adam is there, he says that Adam was alone because there was no suitable helper for him. The second thing I want us to understand from God's text, as he's calling us as a family of God to grow deeper with one another, is that we must realize our need for God-given relationships. God-given relationships. First relationship we see in the second chapter is that Adam has a relationship with God. I don't want us to run past this because God is in the garden. And out of his relationship with God, we see that he experiences God's hand of placement. For God placed him in the garden. Because of his relationship with God, you're able to see God's hand of provision. For God, through the garden, provided Adam with everything he would need to sustain his life. We see that by his relationship with God, that God not only has him in the garden experiencing his power and his provisions, but God himself is able to look at Adam's condition and prescribe what will meet Adam's needs. Did you catch it? He's in the garden with God. But even with a relationship with God, God intends for us to have relationships with others. And from this relationship with God, God prescribes for Adam a helper, a helpmeet. Those students of the Bible, you know that she is Eve. And from Adam and Eve, we have the creation of all humanity. And from an aerial perspective, we can see and learn the value of relationships. One, we must first value the primary relationship, and that is our relationship with God. A relationship with God, that we are born in the family of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and this is a relationship that we must value, that we must yearn to grow and to grow in, that we become all that God has intended for us to be. Brothers and sisters, the reality is this: you will never thrive. We will never thrive. We will never grow and become what God has destined for us to become if we do not first have a relationship with Him. For us to really explore life, for us to really get the most out of life, we must first connect with our Creator. I told the service earlier that on yesterday was my middle son's birthday. His name's Keandre, and he turned 15. Yeah, that's what I said. 15, and I always ask you when we talk about our kids that you would pray for us, because those of you who've had a 15-year-old, well, you know what I'm talking about here. Pray for us, but we have four kids, the first oldest is 16, Keandre is 15, his birthday was on yesterday, and then my baby boy who is 12 really spoke to me on yesterday as he was trying to prepare for his brother's birthday. I want you to get this, because he was inside of my garage making all kinds of noise. Now, all the fathers in the house, you know there's a problem right there. When there's noise in the garage, he's taking my tools, and he begins, Pastor Ed, to use my tools, and he grabbed some pipes that I had reserved for other things that I needed to attend to, but he grabbed some aluminum pipes, and he began to work on them. And I stepped out, and I said, Son, Mike, I told him, I said, Son, what you doing? And very pastoral daddy voice, yeah. Son, what you doing? And he said, Daddy, he says, I'm making something for Keandre's birthday. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, it would have been easy if you just went and bought it. He said, no, Dad, I'm making something. And so by the time he got through with contorting and bending and constructing this contraption that he made, something he saw off of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm not advocating, I'm just telling you. I said, Son, what is that? What do you do with that? He said, oh, Daddy, this is an instrument that ninjas use. I said, oh, a good pastor's kid, you know. I said, I don't even know what you're gonna do with that. He said, in all respect, he said, Daddy, you're not supposed to. You didn't make it. Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, you got to tell them that one, Dave. You got to tell them that one. The best way for us to understand life and gain all there is to our lives is to connect with the God who created and gave us life. And we will not understand life unless we connect to the Creator of life, God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus this way. He told Nicodemus that you must be born again. Hear me, brothers and sisters. The human family is not God's family. The human family is God's creation. Only those who call Jesus Lord and Savior, only those who come to Jesus Christ are the ones who are allowed to be in the family of God. And if you make that decision, when you make that decision, you have the assurance that you got the first primary and right relationship you need in order to thrive. You need a relationship with God. Adam had a relationship with God, and God had a relationship with Adam, and God prescribes now for Adam another relationship that Adam still needs. Notice, for he says it's not suitable, not good for man to be alone. Even though he has a relationship with God, we still need to have a relationship with each other. Because God has crafted us to connect with one another. In fact, we just laid to rest our former First Lady, Barbara Bush, who lived a life that was well-lived, and I was mindful of one of her quotes where she said, never lose sight of the fact that life is measured by the importance of life and measuring success is with a ruler in how, maybe I should just read it. Never lose sight of the fact that the most important yardstick of your success will be how you treat others, your family, your friends, and your coworkers, and even strangers you meet along the way. That God intends for us as the body of Christ to develop our relationship with him if we're going to thrive. But it doesn't stop there. But out of our relationship with him, we value relationships with others. Because God wants to use us to connect to others. He doesn't intend for us to live lives in isolation. He doesn't intend for us to live lives apart from everyone. In fact, Christ our Savior modeled the necessity for us to connect, because when God came to earth, he came as a human being, connecting with humanity so that he could connect humanity with his Father God. He came to earth to teach us what it looks like to have a relationship with God and a relationship with others. And you know what Christ did when he came, right? He came forgiving individuals who created offenses. He came helping those who were hurting. He came loving those who society declared were unlovable, and he's calling us by virtue of being his children and his followers to value our connection with other individuals so that they too might be connected to Christ. I don't think you got it just yet. Let me see if I can go ahead and illustrate this thing. Pastor Ed, Pastor Skipper, why don't you all come on up here? Come on up here, Pastor Ed, Pastor Skipper, come on up here. They're like, he's calling us up. Yeah, you're in the scripture. Come on. You're in the scripture. I read it because he said that all of us who are called by the name of Jesus shall be saved. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your, then you're in the text. All right, so I'm glad you're here. Would you help me thank God for these two pastors? They're like, why are we up here? Why are we up here? Don't be nervous, sir. Don't be nervous. But I want you to understand this. Because God is calling us to value our relationships with him, that we might have a relationship. We need relationships with God, our relationship with God, and we need relationships with others. Because God is calling us so that he can use us to connect others to him. Did you get that? That God wants us to understand the value of being a part of the family of God, that as the family of God, we are connected to God. And so Pastor Ed is connected to God. And if I'm connected, oh, Pastor Ed, if you don't mind, why don't you just serve as the Spirit of God? Do you mind doing that? You're of age, you know, he's eternal, and you know, okay, it'll work out. All right, here it is. And so if we use the garden scene, and Pastor Ed is representing God's presence in the garden, and I'm representing Adam and I'm in the garden, there's a relationship there. The same relationship that you and I have when we connect our lives to God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in the family of God. I want you to understand this, which means we are connected to God. God is living within us. But then there are those in the community, those outside the body of Christ that aren't connected to the God that we are connected to. You see, Pastor Skip, no, you can't be pastor right now. He's not connected to God. So God wants to use us, the body of Christ, who have a connection with him that is important and incumbent upon us, that as we live this life, we connect our lives to others who may be outside the body of Christ. And by connecting to others, they too then become connected to the God who we are connected to. Amen. Are you getting it here? Thank you, fellas. Because God wants us to value connections, that we don't close the door of connections. We don't close the door of relationships. No, God wants to use us so that we can cultivate relationships with others within the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ, with hopes that we can get them to come in the body of Christ. You know the text, right? He said it's not good for man to be alone. So can God use you to help someone else not live their life in loneliness? He wants to use us, the body of Christ. And it's important for us to value relationships with everyone we come in contact with. Because if we don't share with them the love of God, how will they know? He wants to use you to end the loneliness in someone's life. He wants to use you, brother, to be a help in someone else's life, that they might know the hope that's in the living God. With people who are dying each and every day in our society, people who are giving up, looking for hope in all the wrong places, we, the body of Christ, have the indwelling hope of the Holy Spirit within us. We live with perpetual hope, and God wants to use us, his children, his body, to go out in the world and tell them there is help, because they're able to see the love of God in how we treat them, how we respond to them, how we relate to those on the outside, that we don't judge, because Christ didn't judge us. He saved us, that we don't go out there and cast our nose up. No, that we reach them with the same love Jesus Christ reaches us with. And he says, love others as I have loved you. Yeah. Not only is he calling us to value relationships and realize that it's not good for us to be alone, but his word is challenging us as a body of Christ and a family of God to optimize our opportunities to grow as God's family. To optimize those opportunities. One such opportunity is when we gather in this sacred place to worship together. Now, universally, as the body of Christ, the universal church, are those who call upon the name of Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We are the universal church. And as Champion Forest, we are a local expression of the body of Christ. And he's calling us as a local expression of the body of Christ to optimize our opportunities to grow as a family. Go ahead and say family for me. Yeah, he's calling us to grow as a family. Look at the person next to you. Look at him. Look at your family members. Go ahead and look at him. Get a good look at him. We all look alike. No, we don't all look alike, but we're all in the same family. We're in the family of God. And when I grew up in this context of church, Pastor Skipper, we called everybody brother and sister. That meant something. That wasn't just a tagline. It was a reminder that he is my brother. She is my sister. And where we grew up, we always were told that blood was thicker than some of you grew up in my town. Blood is thicker than water. And as the body of Christ, the blood of Christ is upon us. And that blood is thicker, that no matter what our differences are, we have more in common, because everything becomes common at the foot of the cross. And we're all saved by the blood of Jesus. And so when I look at my brother and I look at my sister, I realize that we're all in this thing together. And God wants us to grow and be what he's calling us to be as his body. That means, Linda, that we do more than just greeting each other on a Sunday morning, but that we go deeper in our relationships with one another, loving each other. For it's only in the body of Christ where you are part of a family that will always love you. Only in the body of Christ will you be a part of a family that will be there for one another. Yes, we have disagreements. You're looking at me like you're concerned about that. Yes, let me go ahead and tell, for those who are listening online and abroad, you may not know this. I'm going to tell you the church family secret. We do disagree. But if that is startling to any of you all in your own personal family, let's be real about it. Do you all sometimes disagree? Mm-hmm. And you love them, don't you? Because we realize that we have more that we agree on than we disagree about. Because as long as we can agree that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in would not perish but have everlasting life, we can stand on that truth. As long as we agree that through Jesus Christ we are saved of our sins, we stand on that truth. And as a body of Christ, he wants us to show that love to each other in the body. For in his high priestly prayer, it was John 17 where Christ was praying, John 17 verse 20, where he's praying to his Father, and he says, I do not ask for these only, his disciples, he says, but also for those who will believe in me through the word, that they may all be one. We're called to cultivate our relationship with one another. And the way we do that as a body is when we gather together in worship, on mission, and in ministry together. Last Saturday was a great example of the body of Christ coming together at Serve Saturday, where we showed the community the love of God tangibly when we became the hands and the feet of Christ out there in the community. And that we'll continue to do because that's our mission field. But may we never forget that we have a call by God in the context of the church that we continue to grow as a family in here. No matter what society does out there, no matter how many differences media try to expound upon in local media, we know the truth of the body of Christ, that we are one body under one Lord with one baptism, and he's brought us all together so we can grow together. Some practical ways for us to optimize this is for us to enjoy the benefits of being a part of the church body, to being a part of a life group. Life groups are the small groups. Those in old school church, you knew it as Sunday school. Small groups where we can get together, where a big church becomes a smaller church, where we can grow together intimately, that we can learn more about each other and help each other. Not judge each other, but lift each other up, because we are God's family. It's not good for man to be alone. No. So God creates helpers. And in your church family, you have helpers. That's why none of us should ever resign to living a life of loneliness, because God has brought us together. And when we come together, we can make sweet melodies for his glory. And when we join the church body in membership, because we confess the Lord as our Savior, when we join the church body and become involved in life groups, what you'll learn is that God has placed you a part of what is called an authentic community, a unique community that makes up the body of Christ, that in him we grow together. And in life groups, you get to dive deeper in the development and cultivation of spiritual maturity. That we get to go deeper in the Word of God, because in here we can have in a preaching context, there can be a lot of questions, but we can't address every question in this context. But when you get to a smaller body, a life group, a group of believers, then you're able to engage in question and answer and dialogue in the Word of God that helps us to grow. But it also helps us be accountable to one another, so that if I don't see my brother, I go to look for my brother. If I don't see my sister who I'm accustomed to being there, I can go look for them. Why? Because we're in the family. So it's spiritual maturity, and then it's also personal accountability. And that's why it's important, brothers and sisters, one, for you to be a part of a local body. There's so many people that I meet from time to time, say, oh, well, I'll just watch it on television. I'll just get it on the internet. No trouble intended for those who are viewing. We're glad you are. We thank God for you doing that. But listen, there's something that happens when you come in the house, when you come in the body, when you experience the worship, when you experience the presence of God, that we ought to be here to experience it personally. And when we experience that presence of God collectively as a body, we go deeper in studying the Word of God together, so that we can always be accountable one to another. We can know whether or not our brothers and sisters are in need, because we're one family. This is what it means to be the family of God, that no one is ever left out alone. You don't have to be alone because you're not alone. You're a part of the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ still stands available for those who have yet to come in to the body. You may have been visiting, but you may have not given your heart and soul to Jesus. That's the first relationship. That's the primary relationship that is needed, your relationship being right with God. And on this Sunday, you can have that relationship. See, sin broke it in the garden. Sin broke that relationship. But Jesus Christ came, God himself came, to bring it all back together, that those who call upon the name of Jesus would be saved. Today, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that will begin your journey into the body of Christ. And when you make that decision, join a local body. Let me go ahead and recommend one. Champion Forest is a great place to be. I got some folk who will say that thing. Champion Forest is a great place to be, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because here, collectively, we can experience the love of God through each other, accepting each other, loving each other, being accountable to each other, and helping to grow each other. Because the truth is, we need God in control. And we need others in community. And this is what God is calling us to.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.